The book of Acts, chapter number 16. We have been going through Acts chapter by chapter and sometimes verse by verse, just looking and seeing what the Lord has recorded in His Word. Of course, the physician Luke is the writer of Acts. He is traveling with the Apostle Paul. He makes those journeys, and we find that he pens these things down as for us to have not only in our Scripture, but to have for guidance and direction. We have been studying the book of Acts for a number of weeks now, and we have sort of tried to show the continuation of the New Testament church. We believe that the church was started by the Lord Jesus Christ during His earthly ministry. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16, He says, "Upon this rock I will build My church, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." So we believe the Lord began to work and deal with people and began to formulate what we call in this era and what the Scripture calls the church. The church is simply made up of people that believe and have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ and followed the Lord in obedience to Him. And as we have seen the progression of it, we meet on Sunday mornings, Sunday nights, Wednesday nights, and sometimes during special times like last week, we meet every night and sometimes all day long. That's the church coming together. We believe in a local church. We believe in a local body that the Lord has given to us where we can learn and grow and mature in the ways of Jesus Christ. So we've come up to chapter number 16 tonight, and we've already gone through the first missionary journey of the Apostle Paul. We sort of charted his course and seen how the Lord opened the doors and how people were saved. And so therefore we're calling this series the continuing story of the New Testament church. It is a continuing story, and it has continued from that day to this day. But we're dealing with some historical things tonight. We're dealing with some things that are literally in history of what took place. And Luke, the physician, he pens it down and under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Inspiration just simply means God breathed, God gave, God understood and the need of people. And so He gave us a word that we can believe and can trust. And we believe we have that preserved word before us tonight. And so tonight we are sort of looking at these verses as a journal of the second missionary journey. I have said a lot of times, I wish that I had began a journal so many years ago with the school. Because sometimes the students that have graduated, they'll sit around and they'll talk and say, "Brother Richardson, do you remember?" And I'll have to say, "No, I don't remember that." But I wish I could go back and get all the details that had been written down. Now, there's some things I do remember. There's some things you just don't forget. And some of those things they tell you, yes, I remember those things. And understand that, and then they tell me things I didn't even know, so I couldn't forget them. But we have had a number of years with our school, and I've wished that for time and time again that I'd written down at least a weekly journal of some of the things that took place in the school and also in the church. But here we have in these verses, really, it's a journal of what is taking place. It's the details of Paul and his group of people with him, some other preachers with him. And it gives us the occurrences of what took place in some of these cities and towns in which they stopped and had their, sometimes they had their meals, sometimes they had their prison time, sometimes they had problems. But this is a journal of it. So tonight we begin the second missionary journey of Paul, and this time of Paul and Silas. Last time we studied Acts, it was in Acts chapter 15. The last part of that chapter tells us concerning the division between Paul and Barnabas. Remember, Paul and Barnabas was the ones that went on the first journey. They went together, and they had with them for a while a man or a young man named John Mark. John Mark, I don't know what happened. He got discouraged, and he decided he was going to go back. And he left them there and parted ways. And now they've come back, and Paul and Barnabas, they have reported to the church We've studied all these things. They have given a report to the church there in Jerusalem of all the things that took place and had given them the details. And they're getting ready to go back now to the field of preaching once again. And Barnabas wants to take John Mark once again. And the Scripture says there's a pretty good contention there between Paul and Barnabas. The Bible says in verse 39 of chapter 15, it says, "And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from the other. So Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus, and Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God." And then it tells where he went. So here we find the division between two missionaries. Paul and Barnabas now have divided, and the contention was over this young man by the name of John Mark. And later on, Paul uses the Scripture and sends a message and says, "John Mark is needed. I need him." And so John Mark didn't go off the scene. He didn't, maybe when they left and went to their direction with Barnabas, the Lord worked in his heart, and maybe things were well. But the Scripture continues with the missionary endeavor of the Apostle Paul. And so tonight we will be looking at this second journey and the beginning of the second missionary journey of the Apostle Paul, and this time with Silas. I believe we find here there's an important key to the Scripture as to why Paul and Silas may be on the outward appearance, seems to be more successful, because we don't hear anything else about Barnabas and we don't hear anything about John Mark as far as their travels. It just tells us where they go, and we don't hear anything else about them until later Paul talks about John Mark. And one of the reasons I believe we find that the Scripture, or that the success of Paul and Silas, the Scripture says here that Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. It seems as though the church was backing Paul and Silas, and they recommended them to the grace of God, and they went through Syria and Sicily and confirming the churches. So they had their duty there as believers. And so we come to chapter 16. They have left now Jerusalem. Let me turn this on. The way it's setting, it's a little bit crooked to get all of it in. But they have been at Jerusalem, or been at Antioch, telling all the details of their missionary journey. Remember, they had to go down to Jerusalem to settle a problem that was there between them and some of the Jewish believers that were in Jerusalem concerning the Gentiles. But they leave now the Bible says, from Antioch, and this is the home base. This becomes the missionary church of the New Testament. Jerusalem was, of course, the first church, had those apostles and many, many people in that church. It's been estimated that church could have had as many as 15, maybe 20,000 people that was involved in the ministry of the Church of Jerusalem. It was primarily a Jewish church, a Jewish believers, and they had been converted over to the Lord Jesus Christ. And then Paul and Barnabas leave from Antioch, and they make that first journey that we have already studied. They go to Cyprus, and then they come into this area and go up into these areas here and Pergamos and those areas on their first journey. But tonight we find it says, "Then came he to Derbe and to Lystra." And in the first part of chapter 16, we find that Paul finds a young man by the name of Timotheus. We call him Timothy. And Timothy becomes a very important figure in the ministry of the Apostle Paul. He's a young man, and he has been converted to the Lord probably by some of those people that had been saved on that first missionary journey that Paul and Barnabas made. And he comes now, and the Bible says, "Behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewish, and believed, but his father was a Greek." So Timothy has a Gentile father and a Jewish mother. And so here we find that they have come to Derbe and to Lystra. Now, if we don't have the map here, it's just words that we say, but we can find that they have gone from Antioch and they go to these two cities here that were in close proximity. And probably Timothy was living in maybe Lystra. It seems as though that he was there. And they find him there, and he is he's half Jew and he's half Gentile. And so we find that he was of high Christian character, and he'd had received the gospel, because later Paul calls Timothy his son in the gospel. And he calls him and uses his name at different times. And he is the one that is used very much in the later ministry of the Apostle Paul. The Bible says, which was well reported by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium, would Paul have to go forth with him, and took and circumcised him because of the Jews which were in those quarters, for they knew that his father was a Greek. And as they went through the cities, they delivered them the decrees for to keep, and were ordained of the apostles and elders which were at Jerusalem. And so were the churches established in the faith, and increased in number daily. Now here in these first five verses, we find that there are certain decrees that have been given by the elders, or the church probably of Jerusalem and maybe of Antioch. And those decrees were nothing more than just certain rules to establish the way that the church ought to be operated. You see, churches are to operate in a way that is civil, and a way that people have opportunity to do the work that God has given them to do. And so the Bible says here they went through the cities and they delivered them the decrees for to keep. Now, I have to remember, Paul was an apostle. He had certain authority that other men did not have. He had authority from the Lord to establish these churches. Paul is known as the apostle to the Gentiles. And he is that one that has been given certain instructions, and he is the one that much of our New Testament understanding of church ways and church life, Paul gives it to us in the writings that we have in our Bible that are in the New Testament. Apostle Paul wrote most of the New Testament. He gives us all of the church doctrines and gives us those things. And the Bible says here that these decrees or these doctrines or these rules that were given to the churches established them in the faith, and the churches increased in number. I believe when you stand true to the Lord and stand right with God, I believe the Lord will give you increase. I believe that the Lord will establish our faith. I think tonight that we as a body, and we as a church tonight, we know where we stand on certain issues and what we believe, and it all comes from the decrees or the words of God or from the rules that the Lord has given to us. And He gave those rules to the churches, and that established them in the faith. You and I tonight, we ought not to be tossed by every wind of doctrine. It ought not to disturb us when we hear some new something that's taking place, because we know what the Scripture says, and under the sun there's nothing new. And so God has given us His Word, and therefore we are to follow that. And when we follow the Scriptures, it will establish us in the faith. Now, what kind of faith is that? It's the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. It's that faith that the preacher Jude tells us in the little book of Jude, that we are to contend for the faith, that we are to contend for those things that have been given to us. And so we find that in doing that, God will bless and God will increase. And in this early ministry of the Gentiles, the Bible says here they increased in number daily. Well, if you go back a little ways, you'll find that, as we have read in the early part of the book of Acts, daily from house to house they went and ceased not to preach and to teach Jesus. And the Bible says God gave them increase daily, such as should be saved. And so, as what God did for the Jews, He's now doing for the Gentiles. And daily they are hearing the gospel, and daily they are being established in the faith. Daily they are increasing, and the church is flourishing and growing. And it's all because of the decrees or the laws or the rules that God had given the Apostle Paul to give to those churches. Now when we're looking on down in verse number 6, down through verse number 11, we find here the direction that Paul is given by the Holy Spirit. Now, this is interesting. You see, there are people, there are needs everywhere. You can look out here around the world, and you can look around our own area, and you look in different countries, and there are needs everywhere. But God has a specific place for us to serve Him. And God has a place for us to be used of Him. And here we find that Paul and Silas now, they begin their travels, and they have gone as far as Lystra and Derbe, and it even mentions the word Iconium. These three cities right there is where they were working, where they were ministering, is where they were giving the decrees or giving the rules or the laws of the early church. And they had already, Paul had already been in those cities earlier. Now some time has passed off, and there's a young man by the name of Timothy that picks up his travels with them from that place. Now in verse number 6, now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia, and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. Now that's an interesting statement. Here's a group of preachers. We have Paul, Silas, and at least Timothy, and they're desiring to tell people about the Lord, and they're making their way, and they're getting ready to go this direction. They're getting ready to go to Asia. And the Bible says here that the Holy Ghost forbid them to preach the word in Asia. After they had come to Mysa, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. And they, passing by Mysa, came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night, and there stood a man of Macedonia, and prayed him, saying, "Come over into Macedonia and help us." And after he'd seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go to Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Now, what's wrong with Asia? Why did they not go there? Why did they not go to these other places that are mentioned here, Mysa and those other areas? And so they go down to Troas. You see, God has a perfect will for our lives. Every one of us, God has a perfect will. Was it more important, or were the people in these areas more important than the people over here in Asia? Certainly not. But the Bible says here they understood that God had called them. Now we believe, as Bible believers tonight, we believe in a God-called ministry. Whether it be a preacher, whether it be a church, whatever it is, we believe that God not just puts before us a burden for everybody, and we do have that burden, but we believe in a specific call. That's why these flags hang around here tonight, because we have missionaries that have that specific call to go into all the world, and their part of the world might be Kenya or Mexico or Bolivia or Wales or Hungary, Romania. Just go around, and God has called them to that place. And this is exactly what happened to Paul and Silas. They tried to go two different areas. The Lord forbid them. But then in a vision, they see a man of Macedonia. Now, Macedonia is going to be an important part of Paul's ministry. This is where the churches are established that we have in the New Testament, that we have Thessalonica, we have we have the book of Philippians, the church of Philippi, we have the book of Ephesus, that's written to the church of Ephesus, we have the book of Ephesians, rather, written to the church of Ephesus. And so these things are important in the ministry of Paul, because he's going to make God's going to give him his call, that he's going to end up in some of these areas here that he didn't really intend to go there, but they were assuredly understanding that God had called them to that place. In verse number 10, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel unto them. Therefore, loosing from Troas. Now, here's where they are. They've gone, let me find my place here, Troas. They have made this journey. Like I said so many times, we can read these words and it doesn't take us long to read it. But I guarantee it takes a lot of time to get from Antioch here up to Derbe, Lystra, and Iconium. And they're traveling. And they want to go one direction. And God says, no, you go another direction. And so they are at Troas. And they loose from Troas. And so here they are in Troas. And they get into the Aegean Sea. And they begin their journey from that particular place. Why did they do that? Because God had called them. God had put a specific burden upon their heart that they are to go into this place. So the Lord prohibits them from going one way. And then there's the pleading of the man of Macedonia. Come over and help us. Paul sees that vision of a man of Macedonia and he's crying, come and help us. And then they begin to make their way and their road to this place of Macedonia. Macedonia has places such as, we'll read here just in a few minutes about Philippi. It has Berea, it has Athens, it has Corinth. It has Thessalonica, has so many different places that have become very important in the ministry of the Apostle Paul. And so they make their way, they go the next day, and they, verse number 11, they loose from Troas. In the latter part of that verse, they end up in Neapolis, and that is right here. So they loose from Troas, they journey to this city here. They're not going this way, they're going this way. And they come to this spot here at the end of our reading there in verse number 11. And then verse 12, and from thence to Philippi. So here they're traveling, and they go to the city of Philippi. Very important city. Very instrumental city. And the first thing that takes place, we find there's a certain woman there named Lydia. And they go to Philippi, and they go there because it's a chief city. It's a city of Macedonia. Come and help us. Come and help us. And so they go that direction. And they are on the Sabbath day. They go into the city by the riverside. There they go to pray, and they speak to the women that was there at the side of the river. And there's a woman by the name of Lydia. She was a seller of purple. Somebody says, what does that mean? Well, Thyatira was a very important city. It was known for its purple dye. And Lydia, we would call her a businesswoman. And she has gone to this particular area. She's gone to Philippi, because Philippi is a crossroads. It's an interesting place. It's a place where everybody meets, and it's a place where everybody goes from everywhere else. And so she is there, a seller of purple. She's a seller of this dye that was very important and was very wanted by people. And the Scripture says here that the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, and the Bible says she heard us. What did she hear? She heard Paul preaching. She heard the gospel. Now, the Bible says she was there, and she was at a prayer meeting, or a prayer time, and she worshiped God. You know, there's a lot of people tonight that worship, but they worship ignorantly. There's a lot of people tonight that think they're worshiping God, but really and truly, they don't know the direction how to get to God. We believe that there's only one way to heaven, only one way to God, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me or through me. And so this woman, she was a worshiper of God, but her heart needed to be opened so she could understand. And the Bible says there in verse number 14, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. That just simply means she listened and she attended to the things. That meant she did what Paul instructed them to do. I can just imagine Paul talking about and preaching about the Lord Jesus Christ. And I can just imagine Paul says, whosoever will can come. And I can imagine Paul preaching the death, the burial, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as she heard that, she attended to the things that Paul had spoken. What it was, she got under conviction, she got saved. And the Bible says here And when she was baptized, and her household, she besought us, saying that if we had judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. Again, this is two short verses that probably took some time to work out in the life of this woman by the name of Lydia. It didn't just happen the first time that she heard, but she was a worshiper of God, and she heard the message, and she believed. And now the Bible says here that after she believed, I'm sure she was hearing other things from Paul. She followed the Word of God, and she followed the Scriptures that Paul gave us, and she submitted herself unto baptism. She believed and she was baptized. We see that all through the Scripture. When people believe, they need to have believer's baptism or scriptural baptism. The Bible tells us what that is. It represents the death, the burial, the resurrection of our Lord. It's a putting under, it's a plunging, it's a burial, and it's a resurrection unto newness of life. And so when she heard Paul preach, the Lord opened her heart. That's a wonderful statement. It is the Lord that opens our heart. It is the Lord that gives us faith. It is the Lord that saves us. And the Lord opened her heart. And she accepted and believed, and now she makes attention and is attended to the things of Paul, and now she's baptized, and there's something else there that's important, and her household. Just because she had heard the gospel, now her household has heard the gospel. How long did that take? I don't know. How many days? Week? I don't know. But her household heard the gospel, and the Scripture says she was baptized and her household. And then the Bible says, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. You notice Luke uses the word us. He's talking about Paul and Timothy and himself. She wants them to come into her house because she has proven herself faithful. Again, I said we read these verses fast and quickly, but it takes a little while to be proven faithful. It takes a few days. It takes sometimes weeks, sometimes months to be proven faithful in the work of God. And she constrains them to come into her house. Now, this is all the things that are taking place before the problem. This is what takes place, and then the problem comes. Here we find Lydia coming to know the Lord. Her household knows the Lord, and she constrains them to come in. But now you come to verse number 16. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer. Now again, it doesn't tell us how long in between these verses. A certain damsel possessed with the spirit of divination met us and brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee, in the name of Jesus Christ, to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. And when her masters saw that that the hope of their gain was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers, and brought them to the magistrates, saying, these men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city. Now Paul and Silas was not troubling the city. Paul and Silas was troubling those men that got gain from this woman that was possessed of a spirit of divination. That just simply means she was one that was at least putting herself off that she could tell the future or fortune telling. That's the spirit of divination or divining. And so here's the aggravation. Lydia has gotten saved. Her household has gotten saved. Now the opposition raises his head, and as he always does. And so this woman came, and this young lady, and she cried, these men are servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. This is an interesting statement that would be said by what we would consider to be a demon. And we find that the tactics that Satan does sometimes is to tell the truth about what's going on to make it look like there's no different than what she was doing and what they were doing. You see, she was a, we'll just call her a fortune teller. The spirit of divining or the spirit of divination is to tell the future. And Paul and Silas are preaching and they're in the city, and she comes along and says, "These men are servants of the Most High God, which show us the way of salvation." She was saying, "They're not a whole lot different than me." You see, the world always wants and the devil always desires that there not be a whole lot of difference between us and them. But the Bible says that God put a difference. We read in the book of Exodus, in our Sunday school, we're in the book of Exodus, and we read a couple of Sundays ago that God put a difference between the Egyptians and the Hebrews. And God tonight puts a difference between believers and unbelievers. We look different at the things of the world. We see things and say, "How in the world do people believe that?" Well, they don't have the same spirit as we have. And so there's a difference. And so here this lady is going around the city and saying, they're preaching that He's the way of salvation. They're no different. And the Bible says that she did this many days. Paul was grieved. And he turned to the Spirit, "I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." He came out the same hour. So here's the aggravation. There's going to be a problem coming up very soon because of this particular incident. Now, in verse number 19, her masters see that the hope of their gain has been gone. You know, when the Lord changes a person, He changes not only internally, but He changes some external things also. He changes not only how we think, but He changes what we do. And they are concerned now that their way of gain or receiving money has been gone, and they bring them to the magistrates. They catch Paul and Silas and those groups. They bring them to the city rulers, and they say, "These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city." Now, they got in trouble tonight. We read this, and they're here in Philippi, and they're there on a mission under the direction of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes when we get under the direction of the Holy Spirit, sometimes we get in trouble. Sometimes we get in trouble with the world. Sometimes we get in trouble with those around us. Sometimes, and we think, and like Brother Gallagher preached the other night, there's troubles that come to us. Sometimes it's just because of who we are and what we are and where we stand. There's troubles that happen to us. Paul and Silas and Timothy and Luke, they're in the will of God. Now the Bible says here that they brought them to the magistrates saying, "These men trouble." And the Scripture says that they caught Paul and Silas and drew them to the marketplace. And if you'll look up the rendering of that, it literally means they ran after them and they grabbed a hold of them and they dragged them to the marketplace. They wasn't real kind to them. And so the multitude rose up together against them. The magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. So here they are in prison. They have been put in the inner prison. That means they are in the middle of the prison, probably in a hole or in a dungeon. They were put where the strongest criminal would be put, and all they did was help a young lady get out from under demon possession. That's all they're guilty of. But now, they cast them into that inner prison. Not only that, they rend their clothes, or they take their outer garments off, and they beat them. And they put them in the inner prison. And then not only that, but they had their feet fast in the stocks. I mean, they were put there as a murderer. They were put there as someone that might do some real damage. And so they beat them. They They put them in the inner prison, then they put stocks, and they put them in the binds in that inner prison. What abuse. All because evil men lost the ways of gain. All because they did not want to have those things lost in their life. You notice here what takes place. And we really don't have time to do all this. We'll probably stop here just for in a moment and pick it up next week. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed, saying praises to God, and the prisoners heard them. In that inner prison, they've been beaten. They're in stocks. They're bound. And at midnight, they were singing praises to the Lord. I don't know a whole lot of, I don't know too many of us that would do that. I'm not sure I would be able to do that. Now here's Paul and Silas, maybe Luke and Timothy. And they're there because they did the will of God. They're there because they followed the direction of God. Now, they could have gone to Asia and that might not have happened to them, but they're doing what God told them to do. They went the direction of the Lord. And the Bible says at midnight they prayed and they sang praises to God. And suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundation of the prison was shaken. And immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. Here's a man that almost committed suicide because of what had taken place. He drew out his sword. He was going to cast it into his body because he saw all the doors open and he supposed that all the prisoners had fled. Why was he so fearful of that? Well, the magistrates said, hold them fast. And they had received such a charge, verse 24, thrust them in the inner prison, made their feet fast, and they had stripes on them, and they charged the jailer, keep them safe. Don't let them go. So the jailer sees all the doors open. He supposes all the men have gone. And I'm sure he'd rather had killed himself as to go through the turmoil and the torture that they would have put him through because of letting the prisoners go. Oh, but verse 28, Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm. We're all here. That's a miracle within itself. All the prisoners were still there. It wasn't just Paul and Silas. It was all the prisoners. They're still there. Well, they've heard Paul and Silas singing. They've heard Paul and Silas praising the Lord. They probably heard Paul and Silas maybe preaching to them. All of a sudden, the earthquake comes and the doors are open and nobody leaves. And that's a miracle within itself. And he called for a light. Well, you can tell you, I've heard this verse preached on many, many times. Call for a light. Thank God Jesus Christ is the light of the world. He was in darkness. He was spiritually in the depths of sin, and he calls for a light. Physically, he was in darkness. Now, their jails and their prison, not like ours. Buddy, when it was dark, it was dark. There wasn't any flipping of the switch. It's dark, and he calls for them to bring in a light. Bring in a torch. Bring in something. Because he's hearing voices, but he knows the doors are open and he knows things are not right. And so he calls for a light. And springing in, he came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas. He didn't fall down in front of the others. I think he had heard what was going on. And he brought them out and said, sirs, this is the most direct, simple question in all the Bible about salvation. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? That's pretty direct. I wonder how he knew to ask that question. Well, they'd been in Philippi long enough. He knew what they was doing. He'd maybe heard some messages. He probably heard some things they said that night. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? He calls for light. He springs in. He's trembling. And he comes to Paul and Silas and says, sirs, what must I do to be saved? That's the most direct question anywhere in the Bible about salvation. The next thing that's said is the most direct answer that's found anywhere in the Scripture. And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. It doesn't stop there, and thy house. Thank God when it comes in our heart, it spreads to our family. And here's this old Philippian jailer. And he's in anguish. He's awakened out of his sleep. He is aware of what has happened. He's about to take action against himself. And he gets assurance from Paul, we are here. Don't do yourself any harm. Do not kill yourself, for we are all here. He calls for light. The next verse is, and they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes. Here's another one. He gets saved. What does he do? He gets baptized. That is the pattern all through the New Testament. You know what? That's the pattern right now. That is the pattern. That's the plan that God has given to us. When a person gets saved, they are to be baptized. They are to follow the Lord in baptism. And so, this Philippian jailer, he comes in, and we're going to stop here and we'll rehash some of it next week and start from here. And he just says, what must I do to be saved? What can I do? And Paul and Silas and the group, they said, just believe. You know what? When I got saved, I didn't understand a lot. Thank God you don't have to understand a lot. You just got to understand you're lost. Just got to know you need a Savior. And all you have to do is believe. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt not. Today, I'm afraid we go through so many things. We try to lead somebody down this road, or we do that road. All they have to do is believe on the Lord. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so the Scripture is very clear. And they have their prison endeavor here. What a great account it was. This Philippian jailer and his whole household get saved and they follow the Lord in baptism. And as a result of Lydia, the Philippian jailer, you can turn over in your New Testament few pages over from where we're reading, and there's a book here that says Paul and Timothy, same group, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints of Christ Jesus which are at where? Philippi. This is where it all started. This is where they go. And Lydia believes in the Lord. She's saved. She's baptized. They get put in prison. The jailer gets saved and baptized. And then as time progresses, guess what? Other people get saved and get baptized. And Paul writes back to this church, this first Gentile place where he's really received and where the work of the Lord is active. He writes to them from Paul and Timotheus, to the saints, to all the saints that are at Philippi. Thank God tonight there are saints everywhere. And we have this book to tell us how to live, what to do, how to follow the direction. If we just listen to the decrees, if we'd be most assuredly gathering that God has called us to certain things just to follow Him. So we find Philippi was an interesting place. And we'll pick it up there next week, and just a few things left in that chapter. We don't have time tonight. So let's stand together.